Today on Real Radio.
I make this grand and holy assumption. If you're a Christian, you've got a testimony. Tell people. No one can stop it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on what we often call the essentials of the faith. Last week, we began a series within a series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth. Of course, the words gospel truth is a common phrase that a lot of folks use, but we're talking about the real gospel truth as found in the pages of God's written word, the Bible. Here's pastor and Bible teacher now, Jack Hibbs, with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth.
Galatians goes on to say, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father," meaning this: if you today long and desire and want and find yourself thinking about all the time, God, your relationship with your Father. Look at this verse. "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts." The proof of you being a Christian is that inside of you, the Holy Spirit in you, is the very one who prompts you to say to Him, "Father, Abba," that's Hebrew, Abba. "Abba, Father." Not religiously, but because He is. Application: the Holy Spirit at work initiates you to even think about eternal things. Maybe you're not a Christian today, but you're here because you've been having things going on in your life and you're wondering, what's up? You're starting to think forever thoughts. Maybe you got a pink slip from the doctor or from your boss and you're shaken and you're wondering, what's up? God's getting your attention. The Holy Spirit initiates that thought in your mind. Did you know that? He does that. I like what the old Puritans used to say. He's wooing you. The Holy Spirit is wooing. He won't bend your neck. You know, remember when we were growing up, you'd grab your neighbor or your buddy and you put him in a headlock and say, "I'm not going to let you go till you scream uncle," or whatever that thing. Remember, anybody? No? Well, the Holy Spirit's not going to do that. But the Holy Spirit's going to say, "Do you see what's going on in your life? Do you see what's happening? Is this how you want to end your life? Is this it for your life?" He's the one that puts the thought into your mind. What if eternity's for real? And you see a cross on a hillside or around somebody's mirror in traffic, and you go, "What's with that cross? What's that all about?" The Holy Spirit does that. He initiates it. The application of the Holy Spirit at work prompts you to talk to God. God, are you there? Have you noticed whenever there's a trauma in your life or in the world or an earthquake? You know, everybody gets religious for about 30 to 60 seconds, maybe up to 3-4 minutes in an earthquake. Did you see the sunset on Thursday? Did you hear the gasp of air from all of you a moment ago? Boy, if you missed it, you missed it. The sunset, first of all, what direction does the sun set? In the west. The biggest sunset was happening not in the west, in the east. Did you see it? It's online. People took pictures of it. I heard it was in the news. I pulled over. I freaked out. I was on my way home. I stopped and I'm like this, trying to call my family. "Look, look, 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 look." What happened? The sky in the east was absolutely almost blood red. And in front of that was, and look, you guys, I've been to Hawaii more times than I can count. I have family in Hawaii. What's Hawaii famous for? Rainbows. They have rainbows every day, many times during the course of the day. I ain't seen no rainbow in Hawaii like that rainbow here. What was it? It came out of the ground with all of its intensity and went back into the ground absolutely perfect with a blood red backdrop. I've never seen anything like it. And I looked at that and I remember thinking, "Lord, that looks like the end of the world." But there's a promise there. it caused you to stop. And I wasn't the only one. People were getting out of their cars. I heard about people, I should say, coming out of stores and stuff, just standing in the parking lots, taking pictures. It stopped you for a moment. And I guarantee you, for a second, there are a whole lot of people maybe going, wow, what does that mean? Or, God? You know, when we have an earthquake, everybody gets religious for about a minute and a half. You can be cussing up a storm, denying God. The earth shakes, and you go, oh, Lord, forgive me, God. Help me, God. And then you realize, you know, you didn't get swallowed up in the ground. And then it's back to your ways. Isn't that interesting? This, the Holy Spirit prompts us to think about God. And then also this, it's the Holy Spirit that calls you upward to think higher thoughts of God. Could this God who made it all save me? Think of that. And then next, mark it down if you would, the next thing is, why is the gospel so important? Is, listen, its centrality is matchless. The gospel was, is Jesus' mission. His earthly ministry began with him preaching the gospel. He said it would be preached. And the end of the world will conclude with the gospel, or the tribulation period. The centrality of the gospel is matchless. It's the ministry of God. Luke chapter 4. Turn there in your Bibles if you would. Just go a little bit to the left. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Look at the magnitude and the importance of this. By the way, personally, this is, I believe, the outline or mandate for every true biblical church ministry in existence. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, by the way, if you know anything about Judaism and the synagogue, the attendant hands Jesus the book of Isaiah to the daily reading of Isaiah. Jesus did not turn to a portion of Isaiah. It was handed to him, the daily reading. Did you read your daily Bible for today, for example? They had a day set. This was the day that they're all reading in synagogues all around the world, just as they do now today. Same thing. Okay, you with me? Watch this. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. It was right there, the chapter reading of the day from Isaiah. Verse 18, he quotes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to," what? "Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim," verse 19, "the acceptable year of the Lord," close quote. He could have kept reading. He stops. Then he closed the book, the Bible says, and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. That was unusual. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Why? This is strange. They knew who Jesus was. He had been there many times before. This was his custom. What's up? This is odd. Why is he stopping? And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Oh, mama. And if you keep reading, some people must have went right on. And some people must have had nearly a heart attack. The gospel is God's last word to mankind. Jesus says, at just the right Sabbath, just the right passage, God-ordained moment, "Today are these scriptures fulfilled in your hearing, in your eyes." He went on to announce to them, he's the Messiah, the very fulfillment of those promises. The gospel is God's last word to man. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son." That verse right there neuters all cults in an instant. Done. God's not speaking anymore doctrine. It's over. He's delivered it by the ministry of his Son. That's it. Think of that. Next, Why is the gospel so important? Because of its sufficiency. Its sufficiency is absolute, it's total. How is that? How is the gospel sufficient enough? Well, simply this, the gospel has proven to be transformative. It transforms lives. It doesn't matter what you, if you disagree with me, that's fine, you can disagree with me, but you cannot disagree with someone's life who's been radically changed by the power of the gospel. They're standing right in front of you. What are you going to say to them? Somebody says to you, look, I don't know, but I used to murder people, and I accepted Christ, and now I don't. How do you explain that? You cannot explain that. Remember I said a moment ago, Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel. I was meditating on that because of this point. Paul, you guys, come on, think. Why would he say he's not ashamed of the gospel? He could have said, I'm Hebrew. I know the scriptures. I understand that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. He would have been completely right. But I don't know about you. For me personally, for you personally, that's not enough. I can answer that in a test. Look, not every test you've taken and you've given the answer, you agree with the answer you gave. That's how we got through school. Let's be honest. Come on, really. The teacher says, this is the answer. The answer is blah, blah, blah. Did he ask you to agree with it? He only asked you to write down the answer. When I take a test and I don't agree with the answer, I want to get an A. So what do? I write down the answer that's the answer that they're looking for. And then I put a little asterisk by my answer. Until the instructor goes, why do you keep doing that? About 3 of your answers out of the 20 had this asterisk next to it in hot pink. What's that all about? Well, first of all, is that not the right answer? Yes. Did I not get it right? Yes. I don't agree with the answer. That's a stupid answer. It's a wrong answer. But for this class, I gave you the answer you're looking for. Try that on your next test. They can't flunk you, and you get a chance to tell the instructor the truth. If they flunk you for that, that'd be a Supreme Court. That'd be fun. Does that make sense? Try it. It's exciting. The gospel's totally sufficient. Transforms lives. Listen to this. Paul could have said, in addition to the theology of it all, I've seen people's lives dramatically changed by Jesus Christ, but if that weren't enough, I was a Christian killer. I was en route on my donkey or camel, whatever he was riding, with my entourage to Damascus to arrest Christians. And I met Jesus, and he transformed my life. I don't care who you are. You can be Richard Dawkins. You can be Christopher Hitchens. You could be Sam Harris. I don't care who you are. You cannot defeat that. Because ain't no atheist got bullets in their in their gun of logic to combat that. It's like the man who was he was blind and he was made whole, and people said, who made you well? Tell us, because you know what? Whoever did that's in trouble doing this work on the Sabbath, and they're grilling this guy. And he says, look, I don't care. You remember that? Who sinned? This man or his parents? I don't care, he said. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. You can't combat that. Christians, start telling people what God has done in your life. Tell them, if somebody comes up who's a self-proclaimed genius, and this is why I don't believe in God, say, well, you know what, whatever. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. He doesn't have an answer for that. You cannot answer that. It's impossible. And Paul had a lifelong list of people whose lives had been so radically changed, including and starting with his own. Tell people your testimony. I make this grand and holy assumption. If you're a Christian, you've got a testimony. Tell people. No one can stop it. So I thought about some of this. You think of this for a minute. The power of the gospel. Did you know that there are 7 designations in the scriptures of the gospel? Or I should say, the gospel of. Number 1, the gospel of the kingdom. Have you ever heard that? Of course you have. You've read your Bible. Number 2, the gospel of God. Remember what the word gospel means, everybody, right? Good news? The gospel of his son is the 3rd one. Number 4, the gospel of Christ. Number five, the gospel of the grace of God. Number six, the gospel of the glory of God. And number seven, the everlasting gospel. The gospel is absolutely sufficient. God came. He loved you. He died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the grave, and by his grace, he invites you to be a child of his. God does this. And third, can we do this? Is it possible? It's not possible. Not. Should I finish this? Number three, point number three, write it down. Here we go, really quick. We're going to go fast through this one. You need to know all about the gospel truth, and it's this. Number three, finally, this is our argument here, third closing argument. Whom is the gospel for? Whom is the gospel for? Who's it for? Whom is the gospel for? Number one, the gospel is for all who believe. Listen, is that you? Listen, don't answer. Thank you, but don't answer. Is that you? The gospel announces of itself, it's for those, it's for you, it's for all who believe. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. If you wind up in hell, you will not be blaming him. The Bible says, Isaiah 45:22, look to me and be saved. Look at that verse. Is that deep? Well, you say yes, I say no. It's so profound and yet so simple. Watch, everybody. Listen, watch. All of you, please, just look to the right. Just go look to the right. Go ahead. Move your head. Just like, go like this. Do it. Can you do that? Some of you won't even do this. Tragically, you're proving my point. Look to the left. Go, look to the left. Wow, some of you just won't do it. Maybe this is a very powerful verse after all, huh? Look to me and be saved. Some of you won't even look. God says, hey, I'm right here. Look. He says in the Bible, look to me and be saved. Not going to look. I am not going to look. Isn't that interesting? Who's in trouble in eternity for not looking? He says, look to me and be saved. The lost can't even look. They won't look. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Look! Number two, the gospel is to benefit those who do believe. Thank God. Look, the gospel is the gospel if you believe in it or not. But to those who do believe in it, it benefits you. That's why I'm standing here today, by the way. The gospel has so transformed my life. I watched it transform other people's lives. If that gospel had no power, I'd be out of here. This would be a grand waste of time. But for you that are here that do not believe, you would say, well, finally, he said something right. It's a grand waste of time. My friend, that's because you don't believe in the gospel, and it will never benefit you. The Bible says in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Look to him. He changes lives. Isn't it interesting? We're standing here today. The 12 apostles of Jesus Christ went global with the message that he gave them. That message affected and led to the conversion of Paul the Apostle. That conversion led to scores of people that went out from his conversion to change the world. Think of that. The conversion of many Roman leaders within the Roman Empire, including those of Caesar's household, changed their lives. In the face of death, mind you. Imagine if ISIS came in here today, and they would love to do that. Think of it. First of all, they'd love to kill you because you're an American. Number two, they'll kill you because you're not a Muslim. Number three goes up to number one because you're a Christian. Do you know the gospel that sweetly, that you'd lay down your life? These that I'm mentioning were willing to do that. the gospel that transforms lives. Fast forwarding, think of this. People's lives who have been dramatically, absolutely altered by the power of the gospel. Have you heard of these people? C.S. Lewis. You ever heard of him? Transformed. Atheist, studies Christianity, world religions, gets converted to Christ, becomes one of the greatest modern time thinkers of the gospel and of the argument for the existence of God. I forgot to mention, first guy up on this most recent, guys like Sir Isaac Newton, became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read recently from the director of the National Institute of Health, the director of the Human Genome Project and discoverer of the mapping of the human DNA and the author of the book, The Language of God, Francis Collins, genius, believes in God. The strongest argument for the gospel of Christ is a changed life. I quote, "The strongest argument for the gospel of Christ is the personal testimony of someone whose life has been changed by it." Charles Bradlaugh, an avowed infidel, once challenged the Reverend H.P. Hughes to a debate. The preacher, who was head of a rescue mission in downtown London, England, accepted the challenge with the condition that he could bring with him to the debate 100 men and women that he knew who could tell what had happened to them when their lives had trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. They would be people who once lived in deep sin, some having come from poverty-stricken homes caused by vices of their parents. Hughes said they would not only tell of their conversion, but would submit to cross-examination by anyone who doubted their transformation. Furthermore, the minister invited his opponent to bring with him a group of 100 non-believers who could tell how atheism changed their life. When the appointment day had arrived, the preacher came with his 100 transformed friends, but Bradlaugh never showed up. The result? The meeting turned out to be a testimony by all the 100 sinners who had been converted about the glorious works of God that he had converted their lives. You can't combat that. Francis Bacon, 1561. Bacon was a philosopher who was known for establishing the scientific method of inquiry. Christian. Johann Kepler. Kepler was the brilliant mathematician and astronomer. He did early work on light and established the laws of planetary motion. Christian. Blaise Pascal. Pascal was the French mathematician, physicist, inventor, writer, and theologian, having come to Jesus Christ. Michael Faraday, electricity and magnetism not only revolutionized physics, but led much of our modern-day lifestyle comforts that we enjoy today and knowledge of science. He was a devout Christian and a seminary student of the Bible. Helen Keller, George Washington, Samuel Adams, contrary to PBS, Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, transformed lives. And then finally, I end with this. The gospel for God, it's for God and man. The gospel is for God and man. That God would bring us to himself. The gospel is where God connects with all lost that they might be saved.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by that very title, and it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know on the next edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that if you missed any of Pastor Jack's TV programs, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, all you got to do is visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then simply click on the button that says Watch. There's a list of past programs. Just click the one you want, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.